10:05, welcome back to the Chad Hastie Show on News Talk 790 KFYO, online at KFYO.com, and that Radio Pup app, you can download it. You can search for KFYO, you'll find us, and you can take KFYO programming wherever you travel. Phone lines open to you, 770-5790, toll free, 1-800-687-0790. First voice you hear from when you dial in, the very talented Ariel Walden on the other side. And joining me in studio, Congressman Randy Neugebauer.
Good morning, Chad.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. You know, I like that Radio Pup program, you know, because I can listen to KFYO back when I'm in D.C., and that's a great tool.
It is, and yeah. It's crystal clear audio, too.
It really is.
You know, it's nice.
It's very nice. And, you know, in fact, you know, when I'm traveling around wherever I am, because it's internet-based, and so I wanted to give a shout-out about that.
I appreciate it. Appreciate that. Well, you've been in the district for, a few days now, right?
Yeah, I have, yeah. And, you know, it's always good to be back in the district and, you know, get around and get caught up on appointments. And, you know, we've been started off the week in Abilene, and we were at in Dice Air Force Base on Tuesday. And they have a new simulator there for the C-130Js, and got to cut the ribbon on that and actually got to fly that simulator.
How was that?
Yeah, it was pretty fun. I want to say that my takeoff was a little better than my landing, but anyway, they do a great job there at DICE, and you know, DICE has been a pretty big in the fight in terrorism. They've got a B-1 bomber base there, and then a C-130 airlift group there,
right?
And so the DICE is constantly deployed.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, you've been traveling. What are you hearing from folks when you travel around? What's been concerning them about what's happening, you know, on the national level?
Well, I think a couple of things, Chad. And, you know, the Obamacare thing still, I mean, as I've been traveling around, I've had people come up and tell me their personal stories about, you know, what's happened to their insurance, the premiums are going up, or the new coverage has got a higher deductible on it. They can't see the doctor that they want to see anymore. And then still a lot of the businesses, even though the employer mandate's been delayed, a lot of them still, you know, kind of up in the air because they're getting some pricing back from some of the insurance companies, and it's going up. Obviously, the national debt, the physical constraints of you know, keep spending money we don't have. People know that that's not a path we can sustain. You know, so I think those, of course, you know, recently just passing the farm bill, had a lot of interest, you know, in farmers and ranchers, as they are learning more about what this bill looks like. You know, one of the things we've been encouraging them to do, and, a lot of the, commodity groups around here have been having forums for the farmers, and we've encouraged them to go to that, because one of the things about this new farm bill is it has some choices in it. We brought some reforms, and we gave producers some choices. And so that's the good news. The bad news is you're going to have to make, you know, some choices. They're going to have to make some elections, and they're going to be very important elections. And so, you know, people are talking about that as well.
When we go back to Obamacare, you know, the administration, they keep on putting a bow on it. They put the big smiley face. They want to pass around the message that everything's fine, everything's great. We magically hit all the right numbers that we needed to hit. Do you buy into that?
Well, I'm concerned about it, Chad, because one of the things we say, okay, well, how many people are actually making their first payment, their first premium? And now we found out that out in California, maybe California was paying bounty, you know, to sign people up on that. And so, you know, it's not just the – Chad, I think we get caught up on just, you know, who's signing up. But the question is that for people, the impact it's having on the people that haven't signed up, what is happening to people that have insurance coverage on their own and have elected not to go through Obamacare. I think you have to look at the bigger picture. The administration just wants to focus up, hey, we're signing up people. The question is, you know, what's next? And I think what we're hearing from a lot of folks is that, you know, they're very, very concerned about it.
Well, I just don't see it as any kind of success at all, because a lot of the folks, it seems from independent research that's been done, a lot of the folks who signed up, the majority of folks who signed up for Obamacare, they had insurance. They had insurance already. Now they're paying more through Obamacare. It seems as though through these, you know, individual or independent studies, that very few people who were previously uninsured are now insured. I mean, we're basically at the same step, only people are paying more.
That's right. And, you know, and we really don't know what the full impact is because, you know, the president's issued, you know, dozens and dozens of waivers. And so we really don't know what the full program, you know, looks like implemented. And one of the reasons that we don't is this administration realizes they've got problems with it. And so that's the reason they've deferred some of those decisions. And what you see now, a pattern in the administration, whether it's about Obamacare, the Keystone Pipeline or something like that, everything's now trying to get kicked past November. And
right.
I guess that's just something strange about that.
That's
could
odd.
That be political?
That's odd, isn't it?
It is very odd.
We're visiting with Congressman Randy Neugebauer. You brought up Keystone Pipeline. This is something that already this shouldn't even be up for debate, correct?
It shouldn't be. I mean, even the administration's own studies and analysis have all shown that you know, it's not going to have any impact on greenhouse gases. They've been studying it, what, over 5 years? Again, it just, you know, they keep kicking that can down the road. And it's unfortunate because what the president knows is the right thing to do is to approve this pipeline. But he's got his friends over there on the left that are going to pound him. And now they're getting scared about November. Mm-hmm. And so, again, what we see is this administration, you know, kicking the can down the road, trying to avoid the political realities. But the problem is that, you know, even in spite of this administration's, you know, bias against hydrocarbons, well, you know, our country's making big strides in becoming energy independent in spite of the president.
Right.
But the industry is having to fight. You know, it's an uphill battle for them.
We'll go ahead and we'll take the break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Congressman Randy Neugebauer. A lot of ground to cover, both here at home and internationally as well. Talk about all of that when we come back. Back on the Chad Hastie Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. Congressman Randy Neugebauer in studio with me. And Congressman, appreciate you again coming in today.
Always a pleasure to be on your show. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's take a look at some international affairs that are going on. And there's quite a few. Of course, you take a look at what's happening with Russia, Ukraine, the United States. You have U.S. troops that are in Poland training right now. What do you make of this entire situation? And how is the administration doing while handling this?
Yeah. Well, of course, you know, I think I've never trusted Mr. Putin, and Mr. Putin's a former communist and KGB guy, and, you know, he still is. And, so he's playing, he only plays one way, and that's hardball. And what he knows is, you know, the Soviet Union lost a lot when it dismantled. You know, his power base shrunk. And so, you know, one of the things that Mr. Putin realizes is that, you know, the way to expand that influence, you know, is maybe a little territorial annexation here. And one of the things that makes it a little bit more problematic for the European continent is that Mr. Putin, Russia furnishes a lot of natural gas, mm-hmm. you know, for Western Europe.
Right.
Now, Western Europe has been trying to work on ways to wing them from that dependence. And I think we can be of some help from that if we can start exporting some of our natural gas. So I think the president's trying to make up ground here. You know, I think overall across the world, I think our president is considered a fairly weak leader. And so I think you see that in the way other countries respond to us. And so I think he's trying to make up some ground here. I think that situation got out of hand a lot faster than he thought, or maybe Putin went further than he thought he might.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he's trying to. I think the sanctions are one way to do that. I thought at the very beginning we ought to probably send a carrier, you know, over there and put him in the waters there just to, you know, do some training exercises just to say, hey, you know, we're here.
A little intimidation.
A little
factor.
Intimidation, because that's the way Putin plays. You
right.
know, you gotta understand. If you're going to negotiate with him, you're going to have to, you know, stand your ground, number one. But you're going to have to play hardball with him.
Yeah, there aren't many folks talking about putting troops on the ground, going to war with Russia. You don't hear that from either side. You do hear intimidation. You know, you see troops that are in Poland right now. What really can the U.S. do when it comes to this? Because you have the president who comes out and says, Putin should not do this or else. But then the next breath says, but there's no military options on the table. We're not going to do anything militarily. For the Ukrainians, we're not going to send them anything when it comes to military arms. So what really can the U.S. do?
Well, I think the sanctions, and I think if our NATO partners don't join us in those, I think they won't be as effective. I think what we have to make sure is, and I'm a little bit surprised, we don't hear as much from some of the countries in Western Europe who have the least, I mean, they have more at stake here. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a little bit of frustration there. But one of the things we do know is the Russian economy is down. So, you know, to the extent that we can make that painful politically for Mr. Putin, if we start to exercising some of these sanctions, the internal pressure is probably the most effective pressure that can be applied on Mr. Putin, because he's probably not going to respond to any of the president's threats.
Sure. Visiting with Congressman Randy Neugebauer, how much did you pay attention to the whole Bureau of Land Management, the Clive and Bundy Ranch, and, you know, you've got a little bit of interest now, it looks like, in Texas with 90,000 acres. How much have you been paying attention?
Yeah, we've been paying attention to that because, you know, what people don't realize, and, you know, I've been dealing with the Fish and Wildlife Service here on some of these Endangered Species Act, and basically, that's almost a taking of private property. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, Mr. Bundy, you know, I think there's a lot of unanswered questions there. You know, maybe he's been grazing his cattle there, maybe he hasn't been paying. That's against, obviously, the law.
Yeah.
You know, what it appeared to me, there was a little bit of an overreaction when you start sending the kind of a force to, take action against that individual. So, and then I know that the governor and the attorney general are concerned about this latest proposal on, you know, on the property along the Red River, and how the Red River has been kind of changing.
That's in your colleague Mac Thornberry's
district. His
right?
district, and so when I get back on, I'm sure Mac has been involved in that. But a little bit of a territorial thing. But I think one of the things, you know, whether it's the Bureau of Land Management, if it's EPA, it's all of these agencies. Chad, my biggest concern right now is that we've got a administration gone wild, and one of the things I hear from individuals and businesses is just all of these regulations just spewing out of this, and the intimidation factor, the IRS, mm-hmm. you know, intimidating conservative groups. It's a long list here of big government.
Yeah, well, and one concern that a lot of listeners have either emailed me about, called in about, is the fact that the EPA has a SWAT team, you know, a militarized SWAT team. The Postal Service has been collecting ammunition, that it seems like all these different groups within the federal government are becoming militarized. Is that something that concerns you?
I mean, it is, I understand that, when the Postal Service is investigating postal fraud and stuff like that, they're dealing with criminals, and there may be a certain number of their employees that need to, you know, have firearms. I don't know about EPA. I mean, generally, any kind of enforcement action is a legal action against the individual. So I'm a little, you know, surprised that a EPA has a SWAT team. I could see them having an investigative team, where they're investigating someone that may be polluting water, but.
You just don't think of EPA guys as. Military gear lined up, ready to go.
I think some of the businesses feel like that anytime EPA comes in their businesses, it's a SWAT team, but you know, yeah.
It's something that I think it needs to be looked at, and is there any way to pare that down and say, okay, what are we really spending money on here as far as the EPA, as far as some of these other organizations? Is there any way to pare that down?
Well, we'd like to, and you know, one of the things that's kind of frustrating right now, and the reason these November elections are going to be so important, Chad, is that, you know, we may be able to, you know, defund or reduce the funding for in some of these agencies over in the House. You know, Mr. Reid over in the Senate, you know, isn't concur with those spending reductions, and so as a result, you know, we get frozen out. And so, you know, if we can get the Senate in November of this year, then we'll be able to pass, you know, reductions in spending in those agencies and try to rein them in a little bit in the House and the Senate, and we'd put pressure on the president then to either veto those or accept those.
Let's take a look into the future, and you brought up the November elections. After November, it's off to the races as far as presidential election goes. You already have Republicans who they have not declared that they're running, but it kind of seems as though they already are running. Jeb Bush is one of those, and an issue that affects all of Texas, really all of the United States, illegal immigration. And he has spoken quite candidly about how, hey, this is an act of love, folks who are coming across the border. Do you agree with that? How do you look at what he has said about illegal immigration and compare that to maybe your own views on illegal immigration and what should happen there?
Yeah, well, you know, I think one of the things that the most, first and foremost, the United States of America is a nation of law. And that's what makes it most unique in the world, is that we are a nation of law, and we impose those laws on ourselves, and there's a judicial process. And when people break the law, there is a judicial process for that. I think what we're talking about is then, as we address the 12 to 15 million people in this country, and you start a judicial process, then the question that's out there, that's the big debate is then what is the punishment?
Right.
Or is there a punishment?
Right.
And so one end of the spectrum that people say, hey, just let them go and start all over again. Well, we did that, in the Reagan era, and we thought we'd fix the problem. But the problem is, Chad, is we're not enforcing the law.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're not enforcing the law, there is no motivation to follow the law. And so when we start talking about this immigration debate question, first thing I want to know, hey, we don't need any pass any new laws until we come to the grips that we are going to enforce the law in this country.
Right.
If we're going to enforce the law, then let's change the law to make it fair and equitable, but also have consequences when you break the law. So I am not for just, forgive and forget. I think you're going to have to work through some kind of judicial process. We have situations in this country for crimes. There's penalties and there's probation and there's all kinds of different ways to address that. But again, I go back until we, there's no reason to, go down the road of changing the laws until we agree we're going to enforce those.
Speaker
laws.
Boehner keeps saying that immigration, he'd like to bring up immigration again this year, that he keeps on wanting to bring it up. You think that's a smart idea? And have you seen any proposal right now that you could vote for?
Well, I think here, when we talk about immigration, that's a big tent. And so I kind of say it's a three-legged stool. One is the legal immigration process. Well, our legal immigration process is antiquated. We really haven't changed those laws in a long time. We let people win the lottery to come into America. Well, that's not the right way. So, we could be talking about some reforms that we could make to the legal immigration. Then you have the second leg of the stool is enforcement. And that is border security and interior enforcement as well. A lot of people talk about the border, and certainly it's important because we need to know who and what's coming in there. But interior enforcement is just as important, because 40% of the people that come into this country and that are currently here illegally didn't come across the border. They came in on a legal visa or some way we granted them entry. We got to enforce those folks as well. Then the third leg of the stool is then what to do with the people that, have broken the law.
Right.
I think it's appropriate. That's probably the harder lift. Why don't we start with the easier lift and let's look at reforming, the legal immigration process. We are a nation of immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
I can trace my roots back. I'm sure you know where your ancestors came from.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take the pieces that we can agree on. The comprehensive immigration has little chance of passing.
Yeah. Do you think anything happens this year? Think it's all Obamacare?
Yeah. I think it's very limited opportunity that we would have. Really, the number of legislative days between now and November are shrinking on a daily basis.
Right. Congressman, appreciate your time. Come by anytime you're in the district.
Thank you, Chad. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it.